We come today to this man, Simon of Cyrene, and perhaps we will look at the text, Matthew 27 and verse 32. Matthew 27 and verse 32. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they called to bear his cross. I wish that today I could speak to you and describe to you the very nature of that cross which is recorded right here. It was, of course, at first being carried by our Lord Jesus out through those narrow passageways to the northern gate of the city, now called the Via Dolorosa, the Way of Suffering. Now our Lord Jesus began to carry the cross, but then stumbled under its weight. And then they grasped, it seemed, just any man out of the crowd and commanded him to carry that cross. Now, the Roman gibbet was in many shapes and forms, and there's always some question on exactly what shape it was. Some say it was a heavy piece of lumber with a crossbar high up where the sign that was posted above the head of the victim. Others say that that crossbar was for the feet. However, it certainly made it an ugly, awkward thing to carry. And this carrying of the cross out through the street was a very difficult manner. Now, Roman soldiers would never carry a cross. Rather than taking it up or assisting the person on their way, they would compel someone out of the crowd. And so the Roman soldier's hands fell upon this Simon. He was Cyrenian. His home was in North Africa. Today it's called Libya, away up there on the northern coast of Africa. He was in the city. He was just minding his own business. He was passing by, we are told, when the Roman soldier grasped him and laid the cross right upon his body. Now, on this day, the Romans were in a hurry. Normally, by Roman law, a victim who is to be executed had 10 days between the sentence and the execution. But all of that was done away with, and our Lord Jesus hardly had 10 minutes from Pilate spoke the word until he was on his way out through the city streets. Plus, the Jews were in a hurry because, according to their custom, any criminal that was hanging on a tree after sunset would bring a curse upon them and might even be a hindrance to their Passover. And so in their rush, they could not allow the Lord, who was weakened for all the reasons of his sleepless night, torment, flagellation, loss of blood, bearing that cross, however hard he tried, however he inched it along, everyone was in such a hurry. It might have been that Simon of Cyrene was firstly asked to just carry one end of the cross. It might have been that the Lord was still doing his part. I notice that Luke says that he might bear it after Jesus. And so there you can see, however it was, Jesus without the cross or Jesus bearing part of the cross, you can see this Simon of Cyrene walking in the very footsteps of the Lord Jesus out through that street, out through the gate, up the hill to Golgotha. At any rate, Simon was forced to be a cross bearer. Now, cross bearing is a very big theme in the Christian gospel. All men who call themselves Christians or disciples of the Lord Jesus are bidden to take up the cross and follow the Lord Jesus. A poet has written this: "Shall Simon bear the cross alone, and all the rest go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for you and me." Mr. Spurgeon said that Christ exempts us from sin, but never from sorrow. And if you call yourself a Christian today, you are in some sense or other a cross bearer. There are things that you undertake, things that you put up with, things that you endure for Jesus' sake, because you have been commanded, compelled to take up discipleship as a cross bearer of the Lord Jesus. And so to love the cross, to believe in the cross, and to trust in the work of the cross calls every one of us here to be cross bearers for the Lord Jesus. You cannot divorce yourself from the saving work of the Lord on that cross from your daily walk as a cross bearer for Jesus' sake. And so I want to sum up this great theme today in three ways. Firstly, I want you to think with me on what this cross bearing did for Christ, and then what it did for Simon, and then I want to get to what it does for us as believers in the Lord Jesus. What Simon's cross bearing did for Jesus. As you see that lonely figure loaded up with the lumber of the cross, and you see the Lord Jesus stagger and drag himself back to his feet again and again and again, you come to the conclusion that cross is too heavy for a mere man, a weakened man. The going is so slow. The crowd is wild and pitiless. They are angry out of their prejudice, and no doubt the Roman soldiers are impatient. And the risk is that that human body, so frail, will faint or even die en route. But this man must die on a cross. That's the execution warrant. That's how the Jews wanted it. And we know from the gospel that's how God wanted it. Because he that hangs on a tree is cursed. And our Lord Jesus, to be the Savior of the world, to be your Savior and mine, needed to die on a tree. Now, what does this tell us then? That they had to take this man, Simon of Cyrene, standing on the sidelines, and drag him out to bear the cross for the Lord Jesus. Well, it tells us that our Lord Jesus was a real man. He was not some superman. He was not some half angel, half man. He was every bit man. And with all the torment and suffering that he endured, the Roman flagellation that he underwent the night before, the loss of blood that he suffered, his body drained and exhausted, he was just mere man under the weight of that cross. Roman flagellation, by the way, was the art of using whips of metal and bone to take a man to the edge of death and back again, and then to the edge of death and back again. And so the work of Roman torment was to take that victim through untold suffering and yet keep him alive. And Jesus was greatly weakened under the weight of that cross. What does it tell us? that the Lord Jesus truly knows our infirmities. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our limitations. And you might say, why do I have to bear these things? Why do I have to go through these torments in my life? But remember, Jesus, as the high priest of our profession, as the succorer, as Paul puts it in Hebrews 2, as the sympathizing Savior, he knows what suffering is. Suffering beyond what we have ever endured. And he can truly comfort and sustain your heart and your faith in the midst of trial. So it tells us Jesus was human, and it also shows us his great humiliation. Think of the stigma, the reproach of our Lord under the weight of that cross, unable to carry it, falling in the dirt and dust, his open wounds filling up with grime and dirt as he stumbles under the cross to the point where they will not trust him any further to bear the cross. It shows you the deep, deep humiliation of the Lord Jesus. And he carried it alone to that point. Where was Peter? Where's the one who said, I will never deny thee? I will never run in the face of death. Where was John, the beloved disciple, who laid on Jesus' breast so often? Where was he now? No, our Lord Jesus was a lonely figure as he bore that cross out through those streets. And Simon of Cyrene, he was a stranger, probably never met. He had no interest in Jesus, no part in his ministry. And yet, he was chosen to carry the cross. All of this to magnify the loneliness, the humiliation of the Lord Jesus. And to think also of how our Lord was despised. He called himself God. He said he was the Son of Man. But he can't even carry a Roman gibbet, a piece of wood. This tells us how low our Lord stooped, that he might be your Savior and mine. And I don't want you to miss this as we come to the communion today. I don't want you to miss that as you take that cup and bread and you think of the crucifixion, the death of our Lord Jesus, what he suffered. He came from the heights of glory, took upon himself the form of a man, became a servant to no reputation, to no reputation, despised, rejected of men, hated, prejudiced of men. And for you, don't forget this, for you, that you would have your sins washed away, that your sins would be laid on Jesus, and he would suffer in your place. Another thing that this teaches us about Christ is that he carried that cross part way, and therein he filled the type of the Old Testament. You remember the story of Abram and Isaac going up Mount Moriah, and Isaac bore the weight of the wood. There was the biblical picture, the type of the going to sacrifice. Abram leading the way with the fire and the knife, but Isaac bearing his own wood. The Lord Jesus fulfilled that because he did carry that cross at least part way. He did bear the role of bearing his own cross. And again, I want you to meditate on that. I want you to dwell on that as we come to participate in this communion table. Now, secondly, what did this cross-bearing do for Simon? It made him a type of every cross-bearer for Jesus. There's a wonderful story of a minister called Simeon. Simeon, the Reverend C. Simeon. I don't have his first name, just his initial. And he, in conversation with a friend, he shared with him that many years before, at university, he came under awful reproach and opposition from his peers and his friends, and he was greatly afflicted. And so he prayed and he asked God to minister to his heart and comfort him. And he went out walking in the grounds of the university and he took his little Bible. And the first place that he opened the Bible was right here. This man, Simon of Cyrene, bearing the cross for the Lord Jesus. And of course, his name was Simeon, similar name. He was reading of a Simon bearing the cross and realized that he was called as a Christian in this life to bear the cross of the Lord Jesus. Now, Mark in his gospel tells us that they compelled Simon of Cyrene. They just dragged him into this work to carry the cross. Now, the word compelled is really a Persian word, and it was used whenever the post office would commandeer horses and chariots to deliver the mail. You can understand great distances by horseback, and dispatches would exhaust a horse, and he would have the authority to get off his worn-out horse and commandeer any horse in the village or town and pursue on in his dash to deliver the meal. This is how Simon was compelled, dragged out. The Roman soldier could lay his hands on anyone and take him and make him to be a cross bearer. But think of what it did for Simon. Well, we note that it led him to behold the suffering Savior. Mark says that he would have passed by. This man had no business with Jesus that day. He had no interest in these crucifixions. He was on his route. He was coming in out of the country, the Gospels tell us. And now he is commandeered. He's placed there to bear this cross and carry it out to Calvary. What a strange providence that Simon was chosen for that task. But isn't this always the way that God works? Is there anyone that would take up bearing the cross for the Lord Jesus if they were left to themselves? Is it not true that you and I at some point were compelled to become cross bearers, to take up the cross of the Lord Jesus? We felt the load of our sin. We understood that we were lost sinners and we needed that cross. The only way to heaven, the only way of mercy, was the way of the cross. And we felt compelled. We were drawn to take up that very cross of the Lord Jesus. And that is what makes every man a Christian. You're not a Christian until you are a cross bearer, until you are identified with, and that you plead the very work of the Lord's death and blood and suffering at Calvary. Now, this cross bearing also led Simon all the way to Calvary. And that day, he was commanded to walk in the very footsteps of the Lord Jesus. And it says in Luke's gospel, they led him away. They laid upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And so he was literally, absolutely, truly, in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus. Now, never mind the weight of the lumber. Never mind the shrieks and cries of the crowd that were angry, swarming around them. Every step that Simon took was a step on the way right to Calvary. He witnessed and he saw it all. I can't imagine that when Simon got to the top of the hill, where the soldiers were all gathered ready to nail our Lord to the Roman cross that he'd carried, that he just went up and ran off. I don't imagine that for a moment. I think the very fact that he was compelled into this, that he stayed there and he watched our Savior suffer and die. This Simon heard the blows of the hammer driving the nails of our Lord into the cross. This Simon saw with his own eyes those soldiers raise that Roman gibbet into the air. They saw the bloody form of the Son of God, and Simon watched it too, awestruck, and he had been a partner in it with Jesus. You know, this is what the gospel does. This is what the gospel does to every Christian. It leads us right to Calvary, and we see for ourselves, we have it impressed on our minds, the suffering, bleeding, dying agony of the Son of God. And we ask, why? For my sin. Get it? For my sin. I broke the law of God. I broke the commandments of God. I incurred the anger of God against my sin. But Jesus, in his love as my Savior, took my place and went to that cross, and there he suffered and died and endured it all for me. And do you know what? It led Simon to personal faith in the Lord Jesus. Now you say, preacher, where do you get that? Because this is one of the problems in preaching on Simon of Cyrene, because you only get one verse in each of the Gospels. But if we do a little bit of comparing, we discover a few things, that this Simon of Cyrene had two sons, Alexander and Rufus. And by the time that Mark wrote this gospel account, which was a little bit later than the other synoptic gospels, these two sons, Alexander and Rufus, now no doubt much later in life, they are known. Just the way that Mark puts it in Mark 15. Alexander and Rufus, they're known. And Paul the Apostle, when he was writing to the church at Rome in chapter 16, the book of Romans, he refers to Rufus. And he refers to Rufus' mother. Paul refers to her as his mother and mine. She was a believer. Simon, the one who bore the cross, is not mentioned. He may have died by that time. But there is every reason to expect that here was a family changed forever, made Christians, because that day Simon of Cyrene was chosen, compelled to carry the cross. And I can hear Alexander and Rufus telling the story. Our dad carried that cross for Jesus. It became an honor. And what had started out in Simon's mind that day as the worst day to be compelled to carry the cross to the little Mount Golgotha for Jesus, it became the best day in his life. And I want to tell you today that the best thing that can happen to you is to become a cross bearer, to take up the cross of the Lord Jesus, because you will be changed and you will be saved. You will be a Christian. You will be for heaven. What else can you do with your life? And here is the power of the cross to change men. The greatest thing that can happen to you today is to become a cross bearer for the Lord Jesus. Whatever else you're doing with your life, you must be a cross bearer that you might be saved, ready for heaven. So that's what bearing the cross, Simon's bearing the cross, did for Jesus. It's what it did for Simon. But what can cross bearing do for us? You might ask, how can I, in real terms, take up the cross and bear that cross for my Lord Jesus? Well, firstly, by becoming a Christian. You can't be a cross bearer if you don't become a Christian. You must look to that cross and see that there Jesus died for you. And say, that's the cross I need. That's the way of peace with God that I need through the very blood of the Lord Jesus. And you today, by faith, must go all the way to Calvary. You see, whatever religion you have, whatever church attachment, involvement you have, if it doesn't lead you, now listen to me, hear this, if you don't get anything else, you must hear this. If what you have today by religion doesn't lead you all the way to Calvary, you'll lose your soul. You'll never be in heaven. Because the only way to heaven is the way of the cross, the way of redemption by the blood. And you say, I need that cross to be saved. Whatever scandal it brings to your life, whatever cost it involves, whatever price, I must have that cross in my life that I might be saved. And you stand there and you say, you hear the words of the Lord Jesus, this have I done for you, what have you done for me? There always comes a call from the cross. There always comes a crisis from the cross. There always comes a compulsion that you might become a Christian. And then also by an open profession of the Lord Jesus. You cannot hide for long as a Christian. You cannot stay in the dark and the sidelines as Simon of Cyrene was. Once you become a Christian, you must have that open profession for the Lord Jesus. Some people want to go to heaven by some kind of underground tunnel. Can't do it. Now, there are secret disciples in the world, but they must eventually declare that they are saved by grace. Here's what the Lord Jesus said on this matter. Matthew 10:32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father in heaven. There is your cross bearing. There is the way by which you identify with Jesus, the suffering Savior. And when you confess the Lord Jesus before men, the Father confesses you before heaven. Is it really going to take the rough hand of a Roman soldier to compel you to confess Christ? No. You cannot free yourself from the open public witness of the Lord Jesus. You need to tell your family. You need to tell your friends. And you need to tell the world that you are now a Christian, a cross bearer, an unashamed witness and disciple of the Lord Jesus. Perhaps for someone, this might be your first communion today. And this is the day that you will, for the first time in the company of others, take the cup and take the bread and say, I am a cross bearer. I am a believer in the Lord Jesus. I was challenged this week by hearing of how in past days communion had been served in churches, where the congregation would have to leave their seat, file around and come right up to the table, pick up the cup and the bread, return to their seat. But by that means, they would personally, publicly declare that they were a communicant, worshiper, Christian, believer in the Lord Jesus. Now, you have opportunity today to take the cup and bread and declare that you are a worshiper, a believer in the Lord. I trust you will. Another way that you can bear your cross for Christ is by commencing Christian work. You can do something for the Lord Jesus. And here is your way of bearing publicly the cross of the Lord Jesus. Get involved in some Christian ministry, whether it be big or small, but let it be in Jesus' name. And by that means, you will serve the Lord. Now, for me as a young Christian, taking up my cross in Christian service, the first public way by which I really became a cross bearer that I remember was at open air meetings. And in our country town, on Saturdays, our church organized open air meetings. And they weren't quiet little gatherings in the corner of the street. They had loudspeakers, a microphone. They had magnification. And the booming voice of the speaker would go right down the street and up the street. No way of hiding there. And when the microphone gets handed to you, well, that's the day you become a cross bearer. And it becomes known in your hometown, Ian is a Christian. He is standing with those that are preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus. But there's another way that you can be a cross bearer, and that is by submitting to the hard providence of life that God has laid on you. And it's different for every one of us. There are those things that God has ordained for our lives that we would never choose. We would never have asked for them. We would never have wanted them. But for some reason, it has become our lot in life. It might be poverty, financial hardship. It might be sickness, pain in the body. It might be loss of friends. It might be bereavement. And we are called to carry a cross we would never choose. But the hand of God has dealt to us these things. And they've got our name on them. And just as Simon was compelled and the cross was laid on him, there are things that we are to bear as Christians, not grudgingly, not murmuring, not out of bitterness, but out of grace. And we take them, accept them, and we go through with God to serve Him. If your lot is hard, and it brings you to tears and anguish and regret, then look to Christ and how He bore the cross for us. And He did choose it. Simon didn't choose it, but Jesus did. Our Lord was born in the very manger that He might die on the cross. And He willfully, willingly, voluntarily went all the way to Calvary to bear our sin. I trust in doing that, that you will find comfort and strength in the cross that you have to carry, in the burdens of life that you have to bear. Because Christians have many burdens. Christians have many tears and sorrows and regrets and problems. And we wonder why. Just as Simon must have wondered, why me? But God had a plan in it. And you must accept God's plan and God's cross. You do so by love because you know that God is laying that cross on you out of love. It's a cross of love, not a cross of bitterness to destroy. And of course, it's also a cross that compels you because it's the life well lived. I think again of Simon of Cyrene becoming a believer and his sons and his wife. And I think of the Christian testimony and the honor of bearing the cross for Jesus. Nothing else will give you that honor. All the silver and gold of the world, all the riches and the fame of the world won't give you that honor. It's a life well lived to bear your cross for Jesus. I close. I just want to leave you with a Bible verse. Romans 8:17-18. Romans 8:17-18. If the Lord has spoken to your heart today about living for Jesus, submitting to the cross, bearing the burden gladly, take these words to heart today. Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Think of Simon today in glory. Think of that little hour of bearing the cross for Jesus and the glory that has followed. And the little life that we have to suffer for Christ, but one day the glory shall be ours. And without that cross, no crown. Without the curse, no glory. You must be a cross bearer, or you'll never, ever be in heaven with Jesus, which is far better. Hallelujah.